You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So I said this at the beginning of last hour, and it's true. Dana bought herself a pair of lottery tickets this morning because she may be the luckiest woman in the world. She was in the market yesterday, if you were listening to the show, for a 10-foot-tall, three-tiered fountain that she had put $225 down on the bid. It stayed at $225 for 3 days. Fortunately for Dana, last night at 6:45, as she was downing a bottle of wine, not a glass, fearing that she was about to be broke, somebody swooped in and paid $3,750.
Someone who likely owns a forklift and a crane, and the good folks over at Brown Button Estate Sales, of which I am currently in timeout, reached out. They were listening to the program, and owner Michael Fry joins us on Dana and Parks. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going today?
Well, it's okay. I'm in self-exile just for a little while because I have a Brown Button Estate Sale problem. I love you guys. Love.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've heard from a few husbands that their wives are no longer authorized to bid from us. So you're not the only one.
So you don't have to tell us, obviously, who ended up with the $3,900 bid, because that fountain's probably worth $20,000. But is it safe to say they own a crane and a forklift and some mechanism in which to move it?
Well, the sale they bought it from is in Mission Hills, and the buyer is also in Mission Hills, so I think they're okay.
That makes it way easier to move a 40,000-pound fountain.
It does.
How many years have you been doing this, Michael?
You know, our company's been around since 2011, so a little over 15 years. Done, I think, over 1,000 sales across Kansas City.
What is the weirdest item you have ever seen or sold?
We have a few. We were doing a house in South Kansas City, opened an antique steamer trunk, came across some spidery handwriting on crumbly piece of paper talking about this wedding cake from the 1800s from their great-great-grandma. And then below that was essentially what appeared to be a charcoal briquette. This slice of wedding cake that was 100-plus years old. That was kind of fun.
Somebody bought it?
No one bought it, and no one on the team offered to taste test.
Because when you, Michael, it's really intimate, because when you go into somebody's house, whether they've moved, whether they are deceased, you are going, like, you're getting in there and seeing everything.
You know, we are, and I'll tell you, that's something that we consider an honor. When someone invites us into their home and, frankly, their very personal life, and for us to hold their memories, their lifetime, their, you know, interactions with their kids and growing up and decades in this home, to hold that in our hands and then to find other people who will treasure their items like they did. I mean, for us, that's an honor. That's something that we don't take lightly.
Michael, explain this to me. This was a gigantic 10-foot-tall three-tiered fountain. Dana put down $225 like 3-4 days ago. And then right at the last minute, somebody swoops in and wants $3,900 for it. Why does that happen?
Yeah, it's pretty normal. I mean, I will say lots of bidders bid with us and they do wait till the end.
Yep.
You know, they wait to come in and see, you know, where the pricing will be and hoping to get a good deal, they'll wait till the last minute and jump in. And so it's not uncommon that our sale totals will double or triple in value in that last hour, just because that's when a lot of the serious bidders are jumping in and participating.
It's a game. I talked about this yesterday. It's a high. And there's something about finding the stuff. And I've bought several things for our home through Brown Button because we have an old home. I love antiques. Have you ever been there to witness a fight over any of the items at some of the actual physical estate sales you've done?
So we used to only do in-person estate sales, and there have been actual fights.
Yep.
There was one over a Rolex watch at a house in Bucyrus. We had another sale where two adult men were running through the house at the same time and actually knocked a curio cabinet over. My absolute favorite is we got a 1-star review on our Google page because someone cut it in line. before the sale opened.
I was trying to explain this to Scott, Michael. People will like have placeholders and stuff at the beginning of some of these sales, especially your Hallbrooks and your Mission Hills, where they will line up early. And sometimes you have to say no early arrivals.
Yeah. I mean, people will do funny things like move other people's marker and say, I was here first. People will show up hours. And in one instance in a house we did in Mission Hills, we had folks show up 2 days in advance.
What?
Yeah.
To line up to be the first people in.
Where would they stay? In their car?
Yes. Yeah. I don't quite get it.
Where do they go to the bathroom?
Don't ask.
You know, they leave their marker. That's a good question. I didn't ask them that question, and I don't think I will.
Michael, what is the one universal thing that you have learned handling people's stuff? And I've said this before, at the end of your life, there's only a handful of things that are worth anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your memories and your photos, but it really is high-end gold, silver, guns, albums, stuff like that. I always say no one wants your grandma's armoire. What have you learned going through all of these people's things over all these years?
I mean, you can imagine handling 1,000 estates. It does make you think about your own life. And I mean, it's cliche, but you can't take it with you. And so I actually lost my own mother at a young age, and 57. Mm. And I kept too much. I kept a bunch of her stuff, and some of it ended a few years ago. And none of that matters or represents her except for one thing, and one thing I really treasure. And that's my mom's chocolate pie recipe.
Take your time.
With like little chocolate splatters on it, you know, and I have it framed and I have it in my kitchen. So don't let stuff take over your life or control you. Have things that you love that are important, that bring you joy, then let the rest go.
You know, I've said over the years, Michael, I have a handful of things. My father died when I was in my 20s. I have his old dresser, which I use for storage down in the basement. I have his dog tags from Vietnam and his class ring from the University of Oklahoma. And that's it. That's all I have.
Yeah.
I have the memories. I don't need the physical stuff to remember him.
And here's the other thing, is that we hear over and over, you know, we work with a lot of folks who are choosing to downsize.
Yeah.
And they're kind of mystified that their kids don't want their stuff. You know, they've saved these things, and they've saved great grandma's chipped china and silver plate, or, you know, what have you, and their kids don't want it. And so don't, you know, just have the things because you love them and you treasure them, and don't worry about the next generation.
Do you have any clients over the years, Michael, who made a mistake and then wanted an item back?
You?
That is a good question. You know, I will tell you all the time, it goes the other way.
Ah.
That we get done with the sale. They've often moved to assisted living or, you know, a two-light condo or something. And they say, I took too much. I was trying to hang on to all this stuff. It doesn't fit. My new place is crowded. I wish I had let more go during the estate sale all the time.
Do you know what Dana gave away one time and wants back?
I do not.
A George Brett signed Royals jersey.
He signed my jersey, Michael. And when I downsized, it just happened to be in my closet. I didn't catch it. And it ended up probably in a thrift store somewhere. What do you do with all the stuff, Michael?
That hurts.
What do you do with the stuff that doesn't sell? Like, there's always stuff left that, like, I mean, I know usually on Sundays you go, okay, everything's half price. What do you do with the stuff that's left?
Yeah, so there's always some things left over after a sale. And we're working with local charities.
Good.
You know, various charities in town that work with refugee populations or unhoused populations, and all those goods go to serve them. And it's usually the kind of utility pieces anyways tend to not go as well in estate sale, and that's the thing that those populations need anyway. So it's really a win-win. We're able to serve the client, work toward getting their house empty so they can move, and then the items left over go to good causes.
Well, what is the, and lastly, we got to get moving, but what's the one thing that you had on sale at an estate sale that you thought, man, this thing is going to fly out the door, and it never did?
So we have literally sold millions of items at this point.
Yeah.
Hard to remember something like that. It's easier the other direction. I mean, we have encountered just some crazy things, some with very personal connection to Kansas City. And one of the more unique ones is a collection of essentially a sketchbook of Thomas Hart Benton.
Oh.
It was given to his friend, Vincent Campanella. The family didn't know about it. It was stuck in the back corner of a basement for years and years. And these aren't finished works. These are, you know, just doodles and drawings and rough studies for important works that are now in museums across the country. And so for us, getting to handle that collection was, you know, personal, just the Kansas City connection, the fun and excitement of something so unusual and rare. I mean, that for us, that was just a joy and a treat.
Well, thank you for the stories, Michael. We just love, love, love Brown Button. And I'll be back online. Just give me a couple days.
A year.
I am out of the market for a fountain, but there are many, many other treasures that I will be perusing over my lifetime here in town. We love what you guys do for the community.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having me on. Happy bidding. And I'll mention a longtime listener, first time caller.
Wonderful, Michael. Thank you.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Yes, fine. I was doom scrolling through the commercial break. Do not look at the map.
Okay. No,
there we
boy.
Go again.
You can help only as a lifeline, Sam. It's gonna be like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Okay.
How many states start with the word new?
Oh, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico,
You're only missing one.
Yeah, he's right.
I keep wanting to say New England.
It's in New England.
New York.
You already said
You've
that
already
one.
Said New York.
You
said
New Jersey.
York. You've already said New Jersey. That was your first one. And you said New Mexico.
No.
Quiet, Sam.
Why can't I think of the last one?
New.
We already know it's new.
Hampshire!
That is correct. Cool.
Ah!
I was giving her a tip without giving her a tip.
U.S. household debt grew by $18 billion in the first 3 months of 2026, bringing the collective debt in the United States. So what all of us owe combined.
Oh, Lord. If we all cut a check.
To $18 trillion.
Right.
No. This isn't if we all cut a check. This is what we owe in what's the term for credit card debt that you can't pay off?
Huh?
Anyway, non-whatever the term is, credit card debt.
So, like, your mortgage, your car payment, student loans, anything and everything that you owe.
Okay.
Collectively, as a country, we the 330 million people that live here, owe $18.8 trillion.
Not sustainable.
No.
Bad debt is the term I was looking for.
Bad debt.
Mm-hmm. By the way, non-housing debt, such as credit cards, student loans, auto and other loans, decreased. So this is good, by $15 billion.
It's because fewer people are buying houses.
Student loan balances decreased by $6 billion. The total debt for student loans in this country, $1.6 trillion.
Wow.
Yep. Americans aged 18 to 29 had their balances actually fall from $1.2 trillion to $1.05 trillion. That's good. Okay. United States Postal Service worker.
Oh, this is terrible.
Was killed in a hit and run last night after being thrown from a van, according to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. They say officers were called to the intersection of East 30th and Benton Boulevard on reports of a deadly crash just before 7:20 last night. According to KCPD, a white USPS Dodge van was traveling south on Benton Boulevard at the intersection of East 30th. Excuse me. A gray Chevy Equinox traveling westbound ran a stop sign and hit the USPS van. The van rolled onto the driver's side. The postal worker was partially ejected and died at the scene. The driver of the Equinox fled.
This is so sad. From Channel 9, Avia Ramsey came out on Wednesday night to go pick up her daughter from school and saw the wreckage. And she says, by the time I came outside, there were police, fire, ambulances everywhere. Streets were blocked off. She said she knew it involved a USPS van. And it concerned her because she works for the Postal Service as a mail handler and thought it could be her usual mailman who had been hurt. She later found out it was her brother.
Oh, my.
Her brother, a mail carrier, was filling in along her street when it happened. The driver that struck him ditched the SUV, she says, and ran from the scene on foot, quote, like a coward. You couldn't even face what you did.
Can I ask a really dumb and obvious question?
He was 34-year-old Gerald Nevels.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Longtime USPS employee.
That is too bad. Why is the Postal Service, and I'm not blaming the victim at all, please do not misunderstand, why is the post office still delivering at 7:20 at night? Don't these people get to go home?
I don't know, Scott. I don't know. The question I have is, are there seatbelts in those mail carrier trucks? I assume there are. You can't drive one of those like on the highway, right?
Why couldn't you?
Well,
Mail trucks do have seatbelts. Top speed of a mail truck.
Yeah, I don't think those are highway.
Is 60 to 65 miles an hour.
Have you ever seen a USPS mail delivery truck on a highway? No, never.
No, but
Shawnee Mission Parkway, yes. Highway, no way.
Not the standard old school ones that look like a toaster with an elongated nose, but the newer ones, definitely. That just look kind of like a Sprinter van. Mm-hmm. I've seen those on the highway.
Yeah. Story here from the New York Post. Believe it or not, your backside may actually reveal a thing or two about your brain. Disorders like autism and ADHD often share symptoms, including challenges with social situations, staying focused, managing emotions. But they also share another thing, a large butt.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
This usually is not about genetics or body shape. Instead, it is often linked to a common postural issue called an anterior pelvic tilt.
Okay.
With this condition, the front of the pelvis tilts forward instead of staying neutral, causing the lower back to curve inward more than normal.
So you're effectively constantly doing that late 2000s stick the butt out in the picture pose, but you're doing it subconsciously.
They call it duck butt.
No.
I'm not kidding. I am not kidding.
And there's nothing you can do about it?
Well, there are things you can do about it. They just say that having duck butt or a larger backside is more common in people with autism and ADHD.
How do they know this?
Because people research the dumbest things.
Because if you're neuro-spicy, you tend to have bad posture.
Do you think so?
We know so.
Yeah.
Well, I have ADHD. I don't think I have a duck butt, do I?
First of all, even if you didn't, I wouldn't answer that question.
It's a pronounced arched lower back that makes the butt appear larger or more pushed out. Generally not about fat. This is the weirdest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. People with ADHD and autism.
She's going to be thinking about this all night.
Often have lower muscle tone and poorer core strength, making it harder to maintain a neutral spine.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Duck butt.
Okay.
Right. Nothing going on upstairs, but a lot in the back door, you know what I'm saying?
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So I must confess, I did something today that I think I'll regret.
Try to buy a fountain?
No, I did not try to buy a fountain, Dana.
Not that level of regret. Talking like a normal level of regret.
On a scale of 1 to 40,000 pound fountain, what is your level of regret?
So before the show, we were low on groceries. I ran to Hy-Vee, shameless plug. I get home. I got one brown bag filled with groceries, right?
Okay.
And I hear my phone ring. Like I said, I'm not proud. I turn around and you want to guess who's calling me?
Oh, yeah. Is it Marissa Morgan?
It is
111-111-111. Yeah. They want your social security number.
The craziest phone number in the history of the world. Nobody has this phone number. By the way, I ended up calling it back and it said,
Sorry, we can't.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. But I remember I was unpacking the grocery bag. I turn around, I look at the phone, and I said out loud to myself, I'll bite. And I answered it.
We've all done it.
Because this is the sixth day in a row that these—
They want to talk to you about your loan that you've been approved of.
That these scammers have called me from this 111-111-111 number.
Got to give them all your information, and they'll send you $56,000 in crypto.
So I answered the call. It was a woman who— I'm just going to say it. English was not her first language. Uh-huh. That's fine. Okay? That's fine. And we're talking, and I simply said to her very calmly, she wants to give me an extended warranty on my car.
That's right.
And I said to her, I said, can you tell me what kind of car that I drive? And she goes, well, what we're doing is we're calling about an extended warranty. Mm-hmm. And I said, and from what city are you calling me from?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm going to go ahead and patch you through to our
supervisor.
Yes.
I'm not qualified to answer that level of question because you know I'm a scammer.
So anyway, yeah, exactly. And so she patches me through. This guy answers and she says, Jack, you're on with Scott. And Jack, English was his first language. And and Jack starts talking to me about wanting to sell me extended mortgage or extended warranty on my car and blah, blah, blah. And I said, Jack, can I ask you, what city are you calling me from? And he says, I'm in Santa Ana, California, just not far from—
It's beautiful country.
Not far from Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And he starts his spiel.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I don't want to say I lost it, but I got verbally aggressive.
Good.
And I called him a scammer and a lot of words that start with F. And I said he was a fraudster and we're going on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he goes, I'm going to report you.
Oh, please.
And I go, report me to whom? Who are you going to rat me out to, you fraudster?
Right.
And he goes, you called us. And I said, no. Nobody would call this number. It starts with 111-111-1111. I said, you called me.
Stop calling me.
That's exactly what I said. I said, I'm not buying anything you're selling. You are a criminal. You belong in prison. Do not ever call this number again.
What did he say?
He hung up.
A few weeks ago, too, broke down.
Oh, guys, what are we doing?
And when the call came through, you know it will show that it's going to voicemail.
What did you just say?
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
It says, we're going to send this to voicemail. We think this is a scam. It's Marissa Morgan. But would you like to text them or tell them something while we are verifying the call? Is what my phone says to me. Would you like to text them something while we are verifying who they are? And I said, yes. Marissa Morgan, go blank, 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 then blank, blank, and then keep blank, blank, blanking yourself until you can't blank yourself any longer.
Yeah. Oh, blank.
Now, I will tell you this. Siri or whatever worked. She absolutely.
So she wasn't ducking herself?
No, she was not. It actually, for the first time, she got all of my subjects, verbs, and direct objects correct. I know you're not supposed to do it because now they, quote, know it's a real number. But I'm going to tell you, I haven't gotten another call. Knock on wood. I don't even want to talk about it. It's been about 2 weeks.
So, Sam, I was talking with T on the way in, and this was literally right after I had the conversation with 1111111111. And I was feeling a little bit remorseful for my behavior.
No.
Hang on. Because I said some things that my mother would definitely not approve of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I called
the good Lord.
The good Lord would not approve of it either. Right. But the more I talked it through, the more I realized I was probably on with whoever she was from wherever she was to Jack in Santa Ana, California, whatever. And, he got a little snippy with me. I couldn't remember his name at one point. And I go, listen here, Tony, Robert, or whatever your name is. I swear to God. I go, listen here, Tony or Robert or whatever your name is. He goes, my name is Jack. And I go, sure it is. But the amount of time I was on with whatever her name was and
you
Jack,
saved probably an elderly person
bingo,
their life savings.
That's exactly what I said to T. I said that is 10 minutes of time that they're not going to be calling Marge or Doris or somebody else in Sun City, Arizona.
Back to back from the text line, both very true. First, 8215. Wow, guys, quite the boomer move arguing with scammers. True.
I actually enjoyed it.
555. Why do you guys keep answering these calls? When you do, you're just verifying they're calling a legit number.
Okay, but never answering the call, like I've done for 2 years, never answered the call, does not stop them from calling. There was one point earlier in the month. It was 3 times a day.
This was 6 days in a row that 111 has been
crazy.
Calling me.
And you don't even have to go overseas to lose your money. When we get back, we have a Kansas woman who was just sentenced for selling hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of items from elderly victims that trusted her, Scott.
No, Sam, you're a deep diver. By me answering the call, okay, which verifies that, yes, this is a legitimate and real phone number with a real human being on the other side, how is that any different than me letting it go to voicemail? Because isn't when my voicemail clicks on, it says, hey, it's Scott, leave me a message, I'll call you back. Isn't that basically my phone answering itself?
Do you have a, hey, it's Scott voicemail, or do you have a, we're sorry, this number was...
No, I have a, hey, it's Scott, thanks for calling, sorry I can't get to your call, leave me a voicemail, I'll call you back.
Oh, so you're doomed either way, good.
So when my voicemail answers itself...
Yeah.
They know it's a legitimate person.
I guess so.
So I might as well just answer it.
And tell him that
to go his blank himself.
Name is not Jack, and you hope that he gets hantavirus in both of his eyeballs.
You either have extremely high blood pressure or you don't. I guess you can pick.
Well, it didn't increase. I mean, I was toying with him. Why are you giving me that look?
You just told me that you were driving into work regretting how you handled the situation. That means that your blood pressure was risen.
I regretted the fact that I may have answered it and did exactly what you said.
Oh, gotcha.
Was okay. Let them know that there's a real human being on the other end of that call. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized, well, hell, if I had let it go to voicemail.
Did you ever think about maybe
saying, doing the same thing?
Jack, while I have you on the line, I have friends in California, and I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
I should have. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Couple stories looking to just pass on to you. Not necessarily going to make them topics. Two off-duty firefighters were airlifted to the hospital after they were attacked by a bull yesterday.
These are local, are
in
they not?
Lincoln, Missouri. That's in Benton County, down in, this is in the Boot Heel, I think. The Lakeview Heights Fire Protection District responded to assist, Cole Camp EMS, on a medical call around 4 p.m. When fire crews arrived, they discovered that the two men attacked were off-duty members of their department. One of the firefighters was released early Thursday. Another remained hospitalized today for observation. It's about 2 hours southeast of Kansas City. All we know is they were attacked by a bull. We don't...
How do you get close enough to a bull to get
attacked? I don't know. Were they out fishing or, on the banks and this thing just... I exploded out of the tree line like a T-Rex. I don't know.
Wouldn't it explode out like a bull?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Shorter.
Like
longer arms.
Like a T-Rex.
Longer. They don't have arms. No. What did a T-Rex sound like back in the day? Oh, okay.
We also have a Kansas woman. This makes me so angry. Sentenced for selling thousands of worth of stolen items taken from elderly victims. Listen to this. This is from Channel 5. A Kansas woman, Junction City woman, was sentenced in federal court today for stealing from elderly victims and making thousands in profits. And it sort of has a Kansas City adjacent twist to it. The sure. Justice Department says 46-year-old Amanda Rutherford was sentenced to 6 years in prison, followed by 3 years supervised release, and ordered to pay $165,000 in restitution, which those victims will never see. In 2022, the Dickinson County, Kansas Sheriff's Office received a report that guns and more than $400,000 in collector coins were stolen from the farmhouse of a married couple in their 80s. Authorities here received a tip that Rutherford sold gold and silver coins to jewelry stores in Clay County, Missouri, as well as pawn shops, October 2023 through March 2024. Rutherford claims she had permission to wipe out the elderly couple. The elderly couple said...
Wanted to be wiped out.
No, we preferred to keep our hundreds of thousands of dollars in coins.
Huh.
It does not say how she had access to the couple.
The National Recording Registry has added, among others, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Ray Charles, Gladys Knight and the Pips, the entire original cast album of Chicago, and Charlie Daniels.
Oh!
The Devil Went Down to Georgia has been included now in the recording registry.
He was looking for a soul to steal.
He was.
He was in a bind. He was way behind. He was willing,
he was
to, make
willing
a deal.
To make a deal.
That is correct. Came across a young man.
Boy, let me tell you what. I hate you. That song is going to be in my head all day now.
The devil jumped upon a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. Bet you didn't know it.
But I'm a fiddle player too. Okay.
If you care, if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due.
Put a fiddle of gold against your soul just to think I'm better than you.
Bow, bow, bow. Boy said, my name's Johnny. And it might be a sin.
All right. That is enough. Here it comes.
When we get back, AI is being used to train, or let me rephrase, AI is being utilized to take over these jobs. Some of them you will not believe. We'll get to that in just a moment here
is
on Dana.
Is it fiddle player?
It is not fiddle. Actually, technically, yes. Musician is one of the jobs. 913-586-7798.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.